Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundrie with the T30 observations for the 7th of February 2010. You have a backup of a lot of interesting questions. So, as I noted in the text here, we're mainly going to answer questions who are trying to people who are trying to factor T-theory into their own management, how to use them in a practical sense. And so we're starting off with just to show you the chart of my company's record, which is down below. We'll just set the introduction to say that the red line on the bottom is the S&P 500 index plus the dividends. A long time ago, or generally speaking, you have to include the dividend returns you get on a long-term portfolio like S&P 500, because if you look over 60 years, the dividends are comparable to the capital gains. And so when somebody tells you, for example, that the total S&P return over the last 60 years has averaged 10% per annum, it actually has been 5% in capital gains and 5% in dividends. So you can't leave that out of the criteria. The green line at the top is our criteria, and in this one, what we do is we subtract all fees. So we have certain when we buy funds, sometimes there's a small commission on it because it's out of the Fidelity Group, and then there's a management fee and stuff like that. So in any case, I just dragged that out, this chart and the other one. So the point is here are a couple of minor questions which I have to address today. First of all, Ruth asked why didn't the audio play? She went through the audio discussion at the end of 2/3. We spent a lot of time on this one, and so I told her that a restart would probably do it. She said yes, restart to it. If you happen to be arriving here new and you run into an audio problem, the likelihood is that the buffer that holds the audio gets filled up, because I generally do these long things, and for some reason Windows doesn't seem to think that people are going to talk this long, and they forget to clean out the memory. When you restart the computer, they clean out the memory, and so that's the usual problem. And I don't really care to get that question asked too many times. Another question that came up was you probably notice this in this current correction that there is a lot of people are really getting livid about the decline that's coming, and we're all going to. I think they probably read my 40-year cycle about we're going down to the year maybe 2013 and some disaster, and they think that's going to occur here. Yeah, well, that's not our forecast, and he really doesn't want to know about that, because the process in my company is to take that green line and make it go up faster than the S&P 500, because that's a competition, and most people find out it's quite difficult to beat the S&P 500, which is why a lot of people trade it. It's thinking they're going to do better than just the buy and hold strategy, which is shown in that period. This is exactly how you do that is complicated. So Karen asked the question, what's the good stuff, and then the implications that follow from the good stuff is how do you control the risk. My T30 Foundation site where we're watching this correction, my theme there is controlling risk. And what you see in this chart, some of these little jagged things, is practical examples, which I will enumerate on, of controlling risk. Obviously, if you want to do better than the market, as defined by the S&P 500, you have to get into things that are relatively strong. So we do a lot of work on that. Okay. The problem is that these things tend to be somewhat volatile, and although the T's, particularly the advanced decline T's that go from 66 to the present, which we have posted before, they absolutely get it right on the projection of a top, which you're supposed to sell something, that's how you control risk. But every once in a while, you fall into these odd things that you either have incomplete knowledge of, or there's a misinterpretation on the short range T, or you've missed something about the long range tees, which is that you can have corrections along the way, and somehow you don't like the corrections, and maybe what you own, which is being corrected, is going down much worse than what the market is doing, because we apply T3 just to market averages. You have to take some sort of a step. And what you don't see in those is all the steps that we have. So today I'll just discuss some of the things that we kind of do. Sometimes I allude to that in the short-term picture. For example, when we topped out this, we started getting arms warning signals and something, I dispense, most of our positions are in the bond, the capital and income fund. But we also keep some things in the international area, and if you're looking for good stuff, the international area is probably going to be better than the U.S. area. It's right now the big thing that's happening. I also have a question relative to China. China is now in the process of surpassing Japan as the second largest economy based on some GDP calculations, and of course number one is the U.S. Well, Japan kind of got its growth rate crippled by going into a real estate speculation about 15 years ago, which is understandable because it's a small island, and so, you know, if you have a population that's growing, you keep thinking that real estate's got to be, you know, they're not making any more. And you're very limited. So they went into that speculation. They're still reeling from that one in a deflationary environment. Well, the U.S. Has done something somewhat similar to that, and it's got it in its mess, and it doesn't look like it's going to grow out of that for a while. And meanwhile, people are worried about China is growing too fast, and there are people who are competent in the finding problems in the future. And they are shorting. They have publicly acknowledged that they are shorting China stocks. In fact, there are two very good hedge fund managers who have who made a lot of money in the 08 decline because they saw the banking system is weak. Have already started on the next phase, the next big fortune that they're making. One of them is trying to short China. Which is difficult to do. An individual can do it because they can find an inverse fund in China, and the other person is building up a hoard of gold ingots. That is the physical gold, not the mining stocks. Now, so the question comes out: what do you think about China? You know, these people are negative. They only go by the advanced decline T. The advanced decline T says the momentum peak is in the early part of May. And there was another peak at the end, latter part of August. That T, we beat that thing to death. If you look at the series of T's coming up from 66, they always come out right. Sometimes they come out right because everybody's bearish and they have short covering rallies like we had on Friday. Was that when market turned around suddenly? People talk bearish, but they're very nervous and they'll cover. The big negative on this last decline that we had is that there were some very good earnings reports. In particular, Intel, Microsoft, and Apple had announced terrific earnings. As soon as they opened the market up, they sold it right off. Nobody wanted to stay with the good story. They just sold everything. In cases like that, you have a problem. Which is your risk problem is if they did the homework and they produced good results. And everybody wants to sell them, what are you going to do? Well, if you're a long-term investor, you have to say they're doing a good job. Sometimes what we do is we just sort of back off from if they don't want to do it because we know that they know that people will buy it, but they'll have to buy it at a lower level. And so we withdraw, even though we have a bullish forecast, in order to get a chance to reestablish where we're going to reestablish the positions, and then we decide what position we're going to reestablish. I'll later on make a few mentions on the gold ingot thing because it fits into the 40-year cycle strategy and so forth. But one of the experienced traders, Jim Sinclair, has always, you know, in his publications, has always said that what he did was he had a core position, which was 2/3 of his gold, and if he thought the gold was too high, he would sell 1/3 of it, keep the 2/3 position, And then when things look like they were better, he'd put the one-third back in. That's probably the sanest way you have to answer a person in the China area, is that China's going to become the number one growth country economically in our lifetime. The advanced declinees are bullish into early May, late August, and if you get nervous, you sell part of the position and let it come back, because that's what we do. Our contention is that we will not allow our gains to be if we get them unexpectedly, we will start cutting back, and we cut back at a rate which prevents the loss from getting to be too large. We usually don't wait for, if we get it, we see that something we don't like, we don't wait for the next rally. We just start cutting back right away. But we don't cut back everything unless things develop. The thing that you have to watch out for in any of this major trends, the story is that I'll end this off here, and I'll go into the next phase so that we don't get the audio buffers filled up too much. There is a way you can do it, but it's a style. In other words, some things don't work. Some things that work for me won't work for somebody else, because there's a style associated, and the style associated with it is control of losses. On account of, you don't know if something gets into a death spiral, that while you're waiting for a return, while you're waiting for a rally to get out on, they pull something like, which is the 87 crash on you, which was one of the more interesting problems. So we'll end this audio segment here, and then I'll tell you about the experiences in the 87 crash, which were kind of humorous after the fact, but they were kind of scary at the time that we went into it. Thank you.